This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Act now. There's never been a better time to deal.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon in for Bill Radke. General Motors apparently sees its bankruptcy sale as a limited-time offer. It's pushing ahead with a plan to sell most of its assets to a government-funded holding company and emerge from Chapter 11 protection almost a month ahead of schedule. The plan still faces hundreds of objections, though, from bondholders, shareholders, unions, and retirees. But GM and the government say Chrysler's quick path out of Chapter 11 should be applied in GM's case as well. A hearing is set to get underway today before a U.S. bankruptcy judge in Manhattan. At the same time, GM's plan to sell off a major stake in its European division has just hit the skids. Talks with Canadian auto parts maker Magna have stalled. General Motors is reportedly now talking to rival suitors. From the European desk in London, Stephen Beard has more.
It looked like a done deal with Magna. The German government had given its blessing with implicit promises of cash, and the labor unions approved. But talks between GM and Magna have run into trouble. Here's the main problem. It's emerged that the key player in the Magna bid is the Russian car company GAZ, and it wants full access to GM's technology. Jürgen Pieper is an auto analyst with the Metzler Bank in Frankfurt.
It's more difficult, and it's also politically sensitive to negotiate with this Russian manufacturer instead of with Magna. One of the many difficulties here in this whole thing.
The Financial Times is reporting that GM now wants to sign an outline agreement with another consortium. But analyst Jürgen Pieper says the deal would have to be approved by the German government. With a general election looming, that decision's unlikely until the fall. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
A mixed day overseas on the heels of some modest gains on Wall Street yesterday. In Asia, Japan's Nikkei closed up by 1.8%, but shares in Hong Kong lost around 0.75%. Stocks in Europe remain fairly flat at this hour. The Dow and S&P gained around 1% yesterday, while the Nasdaq added 0.33%. Back when Eliot Spitzer was still Attorney General of New York, he had a hunch the nation's biggest banks were charging blacks and Hispanics higher mortgage rates than white borrowers. Then a federal agency quashed his investigation. Now the nation's highest court has ruled that Spitzer was right. States can go after big banks. Here's more from Jill Barchet.
The Supreme Court now says states can enforce state lending laws, even with federally chartered banks like Citibank and Chase. Mark Savage is a senior attorney at Consumers Union. He says this is good news for consumers.
Instead of one federal regulatory agency, which is not has not been doing very much under the prior Bush administration, you now have at least 50 more sheriffs on the beat trying to enforce the laws that are designed to protect consumers.
These sheriffs aren't going to find it easy because they won't be able to launch official investigations and demand information from the banks. So they'll have to settle for suing the banks like any private citizen. It could take a long time before any of these sheriffs has a bank in handcuffs. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet from Marketplace.
The national average for gasoline is about $2.65 for a gallon of regular. With that, $1.49 sounds like a pretty good deal, right? Well, that's what Hyundai hopes new car buyers will think. The carmaker announced an offer today to allow customers to lock in gas prices at $1.49 for a year. The deal is good for customers who buy or lease a Hyundai by August 31st. The South Korean car company wants to build on the success of the buyer assurance program. That offer, kicked off earlier this year, allows the return of the car if the buyer loses their job.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Gather.com, where friends keep up with the people, conversations, and moments that matter. People are talking about business and the economy at Gather.com.
The price of crude surged to an 8-month high for a brief while on overseas markets today, above $73 a barrel. Traders were registering concern about supply disruptions in Nigeria. So, more oil supplies would help, right? Iraq's emerging government is trying to auction off 8 giant oil and gas fields today, but the bidding is off to a shaky start. That could signal trouble for the country's reconstruction hopes. Iraq has the world's 3rd largest proven reserves of oil, but the country's uncertain future is complicating matters. The autonomous northern region of Kurdistan has already made deals with foreign oil companies and is shipping oil to international markets. Reese Ehrlich reports.
Dozens of trucks line up here at the Taktok oil field in Kurdistan. They'll carry the oil to a pipeline that will then pump it to Turkey. Kurdish officials have signed more than 30 contracts with foreign oil companies. Both sides share production costs and profits. But the Baghdad oil ministry calls those contracts illegal because they weren't approved by the country's central government. Baghdad says all oil profits will go to the central government. The Kurdish regional government then gets just 17%, its share of the national budget. Any production costs will not be borne by Baghdad. Kurdish government official Govan Shirwani says Baghdad's refusal to recognize these contracts between Kurds and foreign oil companies is absurd.
How can you accept the money that comes from oil at the same time you don't recognize the contract upon which it was produced and exported?
But some other Kurds criticize the contracts because they provide too much profit for the foreign oil corporations. And Mohammed Tofik, a leader of an opposition political group, says the Kurdish regional government should concentrate on other kinds of economic development.
Reviving the agriculture is important. Building small industries related to agriculture and livestock, like dairies and things like that, are important.
Meanwhile, 100,000 barrels of oil flow from Kurdistan to international markets every day. Analysts say the regional government will likely pay the foreign oil company's production costs and then seek reimbursement from Baghdad. Negotiations between Kurdish and central government officials are continuing. At the Taktok oil field, Kurdistan, Iraq, I'm Reese Ehrlich for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. We invite you to check out a whole selection of our podcasts. And we always welcome your feedback at marketplace.org. And thanks very much for listening this morning.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.